Once again, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've been discussing the Holy Spirit for the last several weeks, and so today we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts, as we mentioned briefly last week, are supernatural gifts. They come as a result of the Holy Spirit's dispersion of God's gifts. They come as a result of God's love for us, and we should desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit simply because they come from God, and that's reason enough for us to desire them. We don't have to desire them for any other reason other than just that they come from the Lord God Almighty, and if they're good enough for the disciples and the apostles, then it's good enough for me. And that's my attitude towards the gifts, is that I want everything that the apostles and the disciples had, and I want them because they come from God, and God thinks they're important, so therefore I think they're important because I believe God's word. And of course, the gifts themselves are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 8 to verse 10, but I want to focus just a minute on verse 7. If you have your Bible there, look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so we understand from this that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not given for our boasting. They're not given for our edification necessarily, although in a spiritual sense, in a kingdom building sense, they are given for our edification, but not for our natural building, or not for our boasting rights, or for us to feel like we are extra special or have something over other believers who have not been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's to build up the body. It's for the common good, and that is the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is for the building up of the body and to raise up a strong kingdom that's full of power, the power to be witnesses, the power to spread the gospel, the power to go into all the nations. Jesus said in Matthew 28:17, go into all the nations, go into all the nations. And so our charge, our commission, is to go into all the nations, preaching in the name of Jesus Christ and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I've commanded to you. And lo, he said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age, or unto the end of the world. And so as we go, we need power to go. We need power to be the witness in dark circumstances, in difficult circumstances. We need power to be witnesses and spread the word, not any power of our human nature or our human source, but the power that comes from being empowered by the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are to point the way to Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of the gifts, to point the way towards Jesus Christ. And so then Paul goes on to list here the gifts of the Holy Spirit in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And so there's nine different gifts listed here, and you can group them into three different groupings. Gifts of power would be faith, healings, and miracles. Gifts of inspiration would be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And gifts of revelation would be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now I might add here too that all of the gifts are important, all are of great value, and it's not for us to pick and choose which gifts we want to have. It's not for us to pick and choose which ones we think are of more value than the other ones. And so the nature of mankind, the natural inclination of mankind, is to pick and choose and say, well, I know what wisdom is, so therefore I want the gift of word of wisdom, or I know what knowledge is, so therefore I want the gift of the word of knowledge, but I don't understand prophecy, so therefore I don't want prophecy, and I don't understand tongues, so therefore I don't understand tongues, and obviously if you don't understand or want tongues, you're not going to want or understand interpretation of tongues. And so the tendency and the inclination for mankind is to pick and choose, and that's not God's will. God's will is that he disperse the gifts and pour them out on all mankind. On all mankind. I want to refer here to Ephesians 1:9. Paul says to the Ephesians, Jesus made known to us, or God made known to us, the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth in him. And so Paul uses that word mystery, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of his will, the mystery of the kingdom. He uses that word several times in the book of Ephesians and in other places. And so the kingdom of God is, to a large extent, a mystery. We will never know all the answers, and if you think you know everything about God, I hate to inform you that you are misinformed, because God is unknowable in all of his facets, in all of his great majesty. He's unknowable. We can know a lot about God. We can continually search the hearts of God, or search the heart of God by through the Holy Spirit, and yet we will never know all the mysteries this side of heaven. We'll never know all the mysteries. And so, you know, to pick and choose that which we think we understand and just say, well, the rest of it's not for me, is not God's will. God's will for us and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that we embrace everything that he has for us, that we embrace all the gifts, that we ask God for all the gifts, that we open up our heart to receive all the gifts. And when you do that, brothers and sisters, you humble yourself before the Lord. When you do that, you come to him hungry, you come to him thirsty. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And blessed are those that are poor in spirit, because the poor in spirit will also be filled. They will see the kingdom of heaven. And I want to refer you here to the second chapter of Acts. When Pentecost hit in Jerusalem, in the second chapter of Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And so in verse 3 we see that the tongues of fire rested on each one. Everybody say each one of them. And verse 4, they were all filled. Everybody say all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And so I think the example for us from the second chapter of Acts is that all of them were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all of them received the baptism of the Spirit, each one of them, every one of them. And so that is the example for us. And God knows your heart. When you come to him in a humble manner, when you come to him hungry and thirsty, when you come to him without pride, without strings attached, without what your grandmother told you, or what your mother told you, or what your some pastor told you, or whatever, when you just come to God with a blank slate and say, God, you write your commandment on my slate. God, you take my heart and you fill it up with the commandments that you desire. Lord, you take my life. You see into my heart, Lord. You fill me up with everything that you have for me, everything that you desire for me. You fill me up. And when you do that, when you come to God with a open heart and a blank slate, then he will fill you up and he will give you that which he desires. And of course, God is a sovereign God, and ultimately the decision is up to him. In fact, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12 here and look at verse 11. And it says here, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And so ultimately God is a sovereign God, and ultimately he wills that which is for us. in our life, but he knows our hearts. He knows if we have strings attached. He knows if we have issues about certain of the gifts. He knows if we have prejudices and negative bias towards certain things. And God sees the heart. And so when you come to him with a blank slate, when you come to him and say, God, I want everything that you have for me, he gives liberally, freely he gives. And also, as he gives to us, then freely we give, freely we have received, and then freely we give. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. Ask, seek, knock. And as you do that, as you ask the Lord for the gifts, God isn't going to give you a stone when you ask for a loaf of bread. He will not give you a scorpion when you ask for a fish. So when you ask God in faith for the gifts, it's God's will to bless you. It is God's will to pour out for you the things that will bless you. That's his will. He is not an unfaithful God. He is not a God of trickery and deceit. That's Satan. And so when you ask God for the things which he desires for us anyway, which he tells us in his word that he desires for us, when you ask for those things, God is faithful and true to his promise, and he will give you those things that you desire. And so you could almost say and look at it this way, that God has already poured out his gifts on you, brothers and sisters. He has already poured his gifts out on you. It is time for you to receive. And I'm just going to pray a little prayer right here for the people listening out here today, that they receive, Lord, everything that you have for them, that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they receive them right now into their heart, into their life, that they not put up any roadblocks, that they not put up any hindrance, no issues, no strings attached, Lord. You know the slate of their heart. You know the issues of their heart. And, Lord, you just pour out on them right now, that which they desire and that which you desire for them. Amen, amen, amen. And so as we think about the gifts, we understand that they are for the common good. They're not for our boasting, not for our pride, not to elevate ourselves above other members of the body, not to separate ourselves from other members of the body, but they are for the dispersion in the body for the common good of the body. Well, let's look down here. I'm going to jump down to verse 25, and Paul makes a passionate argument about how we are all members of the body, and some of us are eyes, some of us ears, some of us toes, some of us fingers. And of course, that is so true that every member of the body is important, and some have more visible roles, you might say, or more roles that are more showcased in front of the other ones. And yet we know that the secretary and the janitor and the prayer warrior, the intercessor, all are equally as important as people who minister up on the stage or whatever out into the public. And so every member of the body, prayer is so essential, and prayer warriors and intercessors who have never seen and never get up in front of the body to minister, but are vitally essential. And God sees the hearts of the prayer warrior, he sees the hearts of the intercessor, and he blesses them because he knows that that's where the hard work is going on. And I just praise the Lord for the houses of prayer here in Norton and the houses of prayer in the United States, the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, a 24/7 house of prayer. It's been going for almost 10 years now. And if you ever get to Kansas City, well, look up International House of Prayer down in Grandview, Missouri. It is an awesome place, and the Spirit of the Lord is really moving in that place. But I pray that the Spirit of the Lord move in the churches here in Norton, as you heard in my prayer. And we need intercessors. We need every part of the body to be functioning at full capacity and walking into their destiny at this time in our history here in the United States. Well, in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, that there be no division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And then Paul goes on to list here some of the callings and ministries of the body of Christ. In verse 28, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? And the implication is no, all are not. All are not prophets, are they? The implication being no, they are all not. All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But I earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And so as we think about the body of Christ and all the gifts that are dispersed, and we think about how the body functions, some people have more refined gifts of the Holy Spirit because that is just the way God and the Holy Spirit have led them, and also they recognized in their own calling that these gifts fit their personality or fit them much better. And so the gifts are manifested in different people in different ways depending on their unique personality and their character. And so we have here a selection, you might say, or a spectrum of gifts and a spectrum of callings that allow the church to function and have maximum impact in the world. And as you think about the body of Christ, some people are called to be missionaries and apostles, and some people are called to be prophets, and some called to be evangelists, and some pastors, teachers, some called to be prayer warriors and intercessors, some called to be workers to fix the lights and fix the plumbing, and God just has a job for everybody. And I think if you haven't found your place in the body of Christ, if you have not walked into your destiny and found your place in the body of Christ, you need to pray about where God wants you to be serving, because Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And our calling is to go. It's to go and to serve, and our calling is to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and carry it daily. And so that is our calling, is to reach out to the lost. Our calling is to reach out to those who don't know the gospel. And if you're not reaching out, if you are a saved, born-again brother or sister out there today, and you're not walking in your gifts, and you're not operating in your gifts, and you're not reaching out to the lost, well, you're not fulfilled. You are not a fulfilled Christian. And you may feel some frustration. You may feel some lack. You may feel some, even some disappointment with God. But let me tell you, God has not disappointed you. He has called you to operate in your gifts. He has called you to move into your destiny. He has called you to reach out and touch those who are lost, and reach out and go down over the cliff. When Jesus had the 99 in the sheepfold, he said, I'm going to leave these here. They're safe here. They're okay there. They're being guarded. And he went out and he got that lost one that was down over the cliff. And that's God's will for us, brothers and sisters, that we reach out to the lost, that those who don't know him because of our efforts would know him, because of our compassion would know him. Reach out with clothing for those who need clothing. Reach out with water and food for those who are thirsty and hungry. Reach out to the alien who is a stranger among us, to reach out for the prisoner who is lonely and needs a encouraging word there in the prison, or reach out to those who are sick and in the hospitals or at home convalescing. And so God has a plan for each and every person in the body of Christ. And because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to go out, to reach out with the gifts, with power to witness to this lost world, to this dark world. We're empowered to reach out and tell the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, the good news that Jesus heals, the good news that Jesus delivers. We're empowered to reach out with that message to this lost and hurting world. Well, I'm going to close up here with a reading from Ephesians 4. If you turn in your Bible to Ephesians 4, verse 10, Paul is talking about, once again, the callings or the offices, and some people consider them to be gifts of the Holy Spirit. I consider them more to be callings or offices, but I'm going to touch on them briefly here as we close up today. And then next week we'll go into more depth on the callings and the offices. But in verse 10, Paul says he's talking about Jesus here. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, this is a broad stroke painting of who Jesus Christ was, that he would fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And so that's the fivefold ministry right there. That's the callings and the offices of the church, the fivefold ministry. And these aren't necessarily, I'm not talking about paid positions. I'm not talking about hirelings here. I'm talking about these are callings from the Lord God. You don't need a certificate on the wall to say you're an evangelist. You don't need a certificate to say you're a teacher. You don't need a certificate to say you're an apostle. You just need a calling and an ordination from the Lord God Almighty. And so if you have that calling, if God has put in your heart that you are an evangelist, you need to start walking into that calling. You need to start walking into that destiny. And you may not get on a stage in front of 40,000 people like Billy Graham, but you can preach to one. Or you can preach to three. That may be your children. You can preach to, you know, your neighbor or your coworker while you're eating lunch there at your factory or wherever you work. You can be an evangelist. You can start to walk into your calling. Maybe your calling is to be an apostle, which is a sent one. Paul was the premier apostle in the Bible. He went to all the countries of what we now consider Southern Europe and Asia and Middle East, Turkey and Greece and Macedonia. And so he was the sent one. Paul said, I don't want to build on anybody else's foundation. Paul said, I want to go in there and I want to dig the trench and put the footings in and the rebar, and I want to pour the concrete for the foundation. I don't want to build on what somebody else has started. And so Paul went to the places over and over and built on his own foundation and the foundation and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he preached with power, the power because he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he preached with conviction because he'd seen the other side. Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and he'd seen the dark side, and so he knew the gospel, the power of the gospel to transform lives because it had transformed his own. And so Paul went into these areas where there was no foundation laid, and he dug the trenches, and he poured the concrete, and he built the foundation, and then others came along and built on top of the foundation that Paul laid. And so the five gifts or the five callings are apostles, who are the governors. They lay the framework and the foundation. The prophets who come along are the guides. They prophesy not just forthtelling but also instructional correction. And the evangelists, who are the gatherers. The gatherers, they call in the outcasts. They bring in those who don't know the Lord Jesus, Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, Morris Cirullo, you know, the evangelists of Oral Roberts, the evangelists of the old generation, the older generation, have been some great evangelists here in America. Pastors, they are the guardians of the flock. Once the sheep get in the sheepfold, the pastors guard them and prevent the wolves from taking them away. And the teachers, the Sunday school teachers, the teachers in the pulpit, the teachers over the radio, the teachers over the TV, and all of the places where God has allowed teachers to be established to teach his word, the intricacies, the mysteries, the parts of the gospel that are difficult maybe to understand for some. The teachers are the grounders. They ground us in sound doctrine and in truth. And so these callings, these areas where God calls us to operate with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministries, each and every one of you out there, brother and sister, if you do not know Jesus, you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior today. Start walking into your calling. Start walking into your destiny. And if you do know him, you start moving and operating in the gifts that God has for you. And I encourage you to just lay aside your issues, lay aside your encumbrances and those things that hold you back, and just let go and start moving into the ministry, into the callings and the office that Jesus Christ has laid out for you and that God has called you into. If you do that, you will be fulfilled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled, they will be satisfied. that is God's will for you, that you be filled. That is God's will for you, that you be satisfied. And when you start to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and move into the destiny that God has prepared for you, you will be satisfied. Well, I hope you take to heart the message today. Go, move into the gifts. Pray for God to give you the gifts if you don't have them. Open up and receive, and don't put roadblocks in front of what God wants to do in your life. Don't put preconceived ideas and strings attached. Just say, Lord, fill me up. Do with me as you wish, and do with me as your will, and he will do that. He is faithful and true to his promises. Well, join us again next week. We'll look some more at these callings. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We'll see you next week.